Snap Studios.
I'm here.
She is here. Somebody set the table. She has arrived.
She has a roving. She has a roving.
Please.
Is this a secure line, Glenn? What is,
no,
is this a
no.
setup?
Anybody could be on this line.
This is not secure.
No. Welcome to our conversation. So, first of all, I miss y'all.
Happy to hear everybody's voice right now. This is cool.
I know. I miss every one of y'all. And I really do miss being able to do Snap Judgment Live.
Me too.
I miss the crowds. I miss the people. I miss the band.
I miss you dancing, Glenn. I miss you dancing.
I love to dance. I don't get to dance anymore. Mm-hmm. I miss the stage. But more than the stage is what I really miss is backstage. After the show. With a bunch of storytelling, with y'all.
He missed the turn up.
Right. That's when, especially when it just went really well, and you get to go backstage, and hopefully there's some drink left.
Yes.
And
floating on the electricity.
Yeah, that buzz. And telling stories to each other, clowning each other.
Oh, yeah.
This is what I want Snap Nation to hear.
All the behind-the-scenes stuff.
So, this is backstage right now.
All right.
With
all right.
The most amazing storytellers that have ever graced Snap Live, the poet, storyteller, educator extraordinaire, Joyce Lee.
Hey.
Joyce is in our conversation tonight. Detroit's own Shannon Kaysen is here.
What up, dude?
Our former Snap Judgment Storyteller of the Year, Don Reed.
Don Juan.
And the man that has his academic papers in order has come down from the mountain. Dr. Raymond Christian is here.
The good doctor.
Hey.
The good doctor is in the house.
Doctor, make you feel all right.
The comedian, I think he's in Canada, from Canada, in the Canada, from Fresno, lives all over the place. Dino Archie is here as well.
I have to add, everything I say is off the record. Just, it will be on the record.
Too late for that.
But as long as I say it's off the record. If you say off the record, none of you listeners can hold any of this shit against me. I've done my part.
You just got to say that, right?
Yeah,
now,
I've done my part.
We're here. Everybody's got their drink, right?
Yes.
And everybody's ready.
Got my smoke.
I'm going to start because I'm the starter or whatever.
I'm in Washington.
Snappers, please understand. This is a grown folks conversation, so you might hear some swears.
Last year, we're on tour, right? We had just done a show in Seattle, and we're headed to Portland. And because of some transportation issues in the past,
Lord Jesus,
we decide we're not going to take the airplane anymore. We're taking the train. And with those aforementioned issues, we're not sitting coach, right? We put up the extra so that Dino, Don, Ray, myself, we could all enjoy ourselves in first-class Amtrak splendor, right? Mm.
That ain't saying much there, you know what I'm saying?
The finest seats that Amtrak had to offer, we were going to take them.
Yeah.
We're gonna have some drinks. We're going to enjoy ourselves first class because y'all deserve it. Y'all deserve it. Now, we get on the train, and we've got our little printed ticket numbers or whatever. And we get on the train, and then we go find our seat. Four seats facing each other. It's perfect. And there's an older woman, a white lady, sitting there. And she sees me, and she asks me if I can help stow her bag. Right?
And now, go ahead.
Right? Is that right?
Go ahead, Glenn.
Then I say...
But she actually was adjusting. because other people were putting bags up there, and she wanted her bag next to her.
Okay.
Like you worked there.
I just,
like
you,
I didn't want to say nothing, you know what I'm saying, but well, okay.
Yeah, you don't work there. Yeah, no, you don't owe her that.
I don't work, I don't owe anybody anything, but she's an older lady, I say, of course, right? And I'm busy messing with her bag, and I think somebody says, ma'am, I'm sorry, I believe you're sitting in our seats, and I think it's Don who says this to her.
Yeah, yeah, I was holding our tickets. I said, these are our seats.
Right, Don's got his tickets, and Don, excuse me, ma'am, excuse me, I think you're sitting in our seats. And Don shows her, he's looking at his ticket, he shows her his ticket, and this woman says, well, I'm not moving. No, not for you.
I'm fine right here, that's okay.
So right. Wait a minute, so this is like a reverse, this is a reverse Rosa Parks, this is Karen Parks.
Yeah.
She's the
gonna sit in the seat.
This is the Karen Parks of Portland. This is amazing.
That's hilarious right there.
I'm tired.
And,
y'all funny.
And I'm thinking, okay, no, I don't my mind's not right, right? I'm not in the moment. I don't realize we're in the middle of one of these moments that we have. I'm still trying to put away her little bag or whatever. And Don's like, no, man, these are our seats. I told you I'm not moving.
Okay.
And okay. Okay, so I was like, oh, wait a minute, things are getting clearer. Now we're first class customers. We don't want no problem. We just want to go to Portland, and somebody calls the conductor. The conductor, he comes over, and Don again, sir, these appear to be our seats, shows him the tickets, but this woman has some sort of issue. Now, the conductor looks at the tickets, and we're like, okay, you straighten this mess out. And he said, hey, ma'am, these are the gentlemen's seats. I'll be happy to help you find another seat. What'd she say?
There's plenty of other seats. There's plenty of other seats. Just sit wherever. They told me to sit wherever.
And I'm not moving for them, right? Not for them.
You notice where Ray and Dino are in this story.
Well, that's the whole deal. That's the whole deal. Right, right. The conductor at this point,
I knew she was with the smoke. I saw it in her right. eyes. She was nuts.
Right.
This
right.
lady was fucking nuts.
Right. So the conductor turns back and says, I'm sorry, there's nothing I can do. And he walks off. And at this point, Dino turns and runs, top speed, away somewhere. He's gone. Dino's gone.
He saw the sign.
And the conductor, the conductor's got something else to say to us. He's like, I'm going to need you to find your seats in order for us to move this train. Right? Those are our seats right there. And he's looking, you troublesome Negroes need to understand these white folks have places they need to be. Sit your monkey behinds down somewhere.
Now remember, Glenn, remember that the people around us, other white people were saying, hey, old lady, you need to move. That's clearly right. their seats. And one right. of the white guys right. went and got security. He went and got security. Security came on. He's looking at the tickets. He's looking at me. He's looking at Glenn. He's like, yeah, this is definitely their seat. She's like, I'm not moving. He said, what do you want me to do? And he walks off.
That's why I walked off, because I'm like, if the conductor of the train that we're on says, what are you going to do? Then, and the security says that there's a pattern here. Also, might I add, Glenn, just real quick, you notice how she took our seats or one of y'all's seats and then said she discovered the seats.
That is so Christopher Columbus.
Just wanted to throw that out there. Go ahead.
She discovered it. She discovered that the seats we paid for. So, but now all this is going on. Dino takes off. Don is not having it. Don is, no, this is unfair. This is not right. And this cannot stand. Ma'am, you need to get up out of our seats. And she's looking at us. People are looking at us. And we got to move this train. And these Negroes are being problematic. You know, something about to happen. And maybe something. It must have been Ray that kind of pushed Don along. We got to go before we get that beat down that they got waiting for us. And when they pushed Don Malcolm X toward the dining car, and we get there to the dining car, and Dino's been there for a while. Dino's having a drink, eating some peaches or whatever.
Dino's like, I done seen some things in this life. You know what I'm saying? Yeah,
Dino just walked away. He like, man, I ain't even dealing with it. I got warrants.
Like, man, where'd you go?
I was ahead of the game on socially distancing myself.
Amen, brother.
Oh, is this thing on? Is this thing working?
We get there with Dino. You know, Dino's happy, having some things. We're upset. We finally get to Portland, and we're trying to get our bags or whatever. And then these two white guys, they come back, and they're like, they're teary-eyed. They're trembling. And I saw it. I've never seen it before. I saw it right that. That what I just saw, that was the racism.
Your allies.
That
came.
Was it.
Your
I
allies.
Saw it.
How old were the white guys, though?
They're
two?
Like, you know, 40. They're a couple of, yeah.
That's
you know,
the damn thing. Then they lied. That's not the first time they saw it. It's the first time that they were involved and somebody put it on them, too.
Well, they saw it up close and personal. And then we get up. We're getting off the train. And then Don saw the woman and he smacked her upside the back of the. No, he didn't.
Did he?
No, he didn't.
Did he?
No, he did not.
I give her a dark, dark, we already ran away, but I'm going to show you one day type look. I gave her a look. I gave her a Jim Crow, I don't respect you look. That's what I gave her. And she could tell, she was like, you could feel her like, oh, you don't mean all that. Yes, it does mean all that.
I'm going to say, she looked you dead in the eye and said, Toby. And you said, Kunta.
Yeah, the hell she did.
Hey man,
no, she didn't.
That's what that's what we were calling Glenn though, because he did when he helped adjust her bag.
When she asked Glenn,
we was like, remember that,
she
Ray?
Said,
Ray?
I don't want to hear that boy move my bag for me. Will you?
You remember that, Ray? Ray remembers. Ray was talking shit
boy,
to me.
Boy, move Ray. That bag for us, please.
Y'all literally just sat there with her little cat faced ass and all the way to from one place to another, nobody moved her.
Look, I was inclined. I wanted to throw the woman from the train, but it was Dino that was acting all scared, talking about he was nervous and whatnot. So we went back, you know, to the drinking car.
No, Ray throwing smut on Ray's throwing smut on my name. Ray, hey, Ray, you know damn well that's not. I seen too much.
You was looking all nervous and shit. You was going like, I'm not comfortable with this.
Let's go to
the drinking car.
sure. I was having a Mai Tai by the time y'all was over here debating about this lady and Amtrak Annie. I'm having a Mai Tai. Drinking margaritas and talking to senoritas, buddy.
He like, that's what I was talking. First class, bitches. I'm still in first class.
I'm up. I was up, man.
Listen, I wrote a detailed, and I'm really good at this. I'm really good at complaining to companies. I wrote a detailed, accurate, step by step, word by word, detailing the moments and nuances of the story, including the fact that had it been the reverse, how quickly would they
that's
have told
right.
us we had to move, right? So I wrote that at Amtrak, and this is kind of actually a confession. Amtrak sent us 4 free tickets.
What?
4 free tickets, right? And
first
I think
class?
I forwarded, all first class again.
One of them tickets, mine.
I think I wrote Glenn about it, but then sadly, what? I forgot about them and they have expired. I'm sorry, fellas.
they can take your little coupons and shove them right up Karen's behind. That was some mess. And again, Dino, he did have the best trip. It was a matter of attitude. I didn't know I was playing the time on that one. I didn't realize I was late. I was late to the part. I didn't understand. It's one of those things where you don't understand. I didn't realize like, oh, we're in that moment. She's not confused.
You weren't expecting that. You weren't expecting
it happens
all that.
Fast. Yes. And those moments happen fast.
They do, don't they?
See, I learn from other people's mistakes, right? And I watch Glenn. So I don't help old people out. I'm sorry I sound bad. I just don't because...
Yeah, old people don't hurt.
Drip or drown. I say drip or drown. That's what I say. I know. I'm a bad guy. Hey, I'm a bad guy, whatever.
I had shoulder surgery. That's what I say. I had shoulder surgery, you know.
Snappers, go refill your drink. Use the restroom, but come right back because the backstage after party is just getting started. Stay tuned.
The Oklahoma City bombing seemed to come out of nowhere, and then America found out who did it. Timothy McVeigh.
He had lost everything and laid the blame on the federal government.
He decides to avenge the death of what are to him ordinary citizens.
The vastness of the crime scene was unprecedented.
I covered McVeigh's trial back in 1997, and like much of the news media, I focused on the crime. What I didn't see then was that this story transcended crime, even terrorism. And it told us something about our politics. Back then, we talked a lot about how the bombing happened. What we didn't talk about as much was why. McVeigh's politics were almost an afterthought. But the why is important. McVeigh himself said that the bombing was part of his duty as an American patriot. And all of that is not ancient history.
We have a breach of the Capitol! Breach of the Capitol!
January 6th, 2021, another day of extremist violence in America. What struck me is that the Oklahoma City bombing and January 6th were both born out of the same motives, the obsession with gun rights, the perceived approval of the Founding Fathers, the belief in the value and legitimacy of violence. To understand the present, I've returned to the Oklahoma City bombing to uncover the full truth about what happened. And once you hear what I've discovered, you'll see that the motivations for right-wing violence that we're seeing today actually started decades earlier. I'm Jeffrey Toobin. From USG Audio, Esmail Corp, and Western Sound, comes a new series, diving into a case of domestic terrorism from the past that's really a warning about the future.
To listen to Homegrown OKC, search for Homegrown OKC on your favorite podcast app. That's Homegrown, one word, followed by the letters OKC.
Support for Snap Judgment comes from Odoo. What is Odoo? Well, Odoo is the only software your business will ever need. Featuring a suite of integrated business applications, Odoo connects your business operations together so you can get more done in less time. Odoo has apps for everything. CRM, accounting, sales, HR, inventory, marketing, manufacturing, you name it. Odoo's got it. To learn more, visit odoo.com/snap. That's odoo.com/snap. This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today. Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Welcome back to Snap Judgment, the backstage episode in mid-conversation, and it's about to get turned up. Next up is Dino Archie. Dino, tell us a story.
Well, I'll tell you, this is why I was always a weird kid. Like, I had a weird relationship. I had a complicated relationship with dogs. It started when I was five at Bob's Breakfast, Country Breakfast in Fresno. That's where everybody's family got divorced. When in the 80s. Right, in the 80s. You don't see it coming, though. You're just a kid, and you go... We had a family of five, two parents, and you go to Bob's Country Breakfast and you're ordering, you know, pancakes and waffles and whipped cream. And then they're telling you the band is breaking up. You're crying, syrups everywhere, tears. You fuck up breakfast for a kid for a long time. And that's how you find out. It's the truth. And then so my mom, she's a single a mother of five, and she's working the night shift. Come on, Fresno PD in the dispatch department. Yeah.
Your mother's a dispatcher?
She was.
She's dispatching people? Your mom?
She was taking calls.
Oh.
My mom was taking calls. So she got all the 911 calls. And then, so that's where she meets my stepdad, this guy named Don. Not Don Reed. I don't think, unless you was in Fresno, unless you was in Sacramento giving it up. I don't know.
Hold on now. I might be old enough to make that happen. What's your mama's name again?
No.
You have to wait until Mari says that you're not the father for it to count.
Right. I'm gonna take Don DeMori. I'm taking Don DeMori Povich. That would be wild.
And let me tell you right now, I'll be doing that dance after they say, you are not the father. I'll be going, what? No, I'm not doing the robot.
Y'all do kind of look alike, actually, now that you say it.
That would be the wildest episode of Maury if a 37-year-old man was like,
but you was already born.
Are you my father?
What?
Yo, so Don was a cop from Selma, which is like a country town. Don looked like he would be like a modern version of Danny Glover in The Color Purple. That was the kind of guy he was. And his name was Don, and his kids, he had three kids, and they even called him Don.
That's the kind of
Isn't
guy
it Daddy?
He was like.
No, they said Don, like he was just some nigga they lived with. You know what I mean? Like he was a roommate. He was the guy who paid the rent.
Don't say all that daddy stuff, that corny stuff. Corny daddy stuff.
He said corny stuff. Like, he coming to me with some soft stuff like dad.
Yeah.
Daddy.
Then they got married because in the 80s, they don't discuss things with kids. They just say, hey, we're doing this. And then we became like, it became like a family of, now we're a family of 10, man. Like we went like a black dysfunctional Brady Bunch meets, meets Gangs of New York.
Sound pretty fun though.
Oh, it was fun, but it was like living in a police holding. Like, cause you know, when you get two step families, and it's two gangs. It's two rival gangs, man. You know what I mean? Because you got the oldest on their side. You got the oldest on ours. I had a stepsister, Nikki, who was hella athletic. So, you know, we would have to fight each other. You know, we put on like boxing, like Fight Club and shit. And she kicked my ass. It was horrible. Yeah, so it sounds fun. It was horrible. I had asthma. I'm getting my ass kicked. It's not a good time. There is a dog in this story. So we hated each other. You know how you have step brother. You make fun of each other. Like I used to pee in the bed. Oh, you Mr. Peabody. I'm like, you got held back in the second grade. You're an idiot. You're stupid. So we hated each other, right? And the only place that was off limits was the pool. Somehow we had a big pool. We were poor, four to a room, but we had a big pool. and that was the only place where it was neutral. And all this shit about black people can't swim is racist propaganda, because we were goddamn dolphins, man. We were in there synchronized with our moves, eight of us. Yeah, yeah. Do the sound down.
Break dance routines and water.
Oh,
I get it.
Oh, we was cold. You know what I'm talking. We was cold with it. And that was our place where we got along, until we came home and there was a dog back there. My stepdad had just became the first African-American to be on the canine unit. So can we go pet him? And he was like, nah. He's like, this ain't that type of dog. yeah, this is not the type of dog you pet. This isn't a petting dog. This is... And his name is Nick, and he was
a white
black
dog,
German,
man.
Right? That's a white dog. That's a white.
Yeah, why ain't he on Nick, man? Dog, give him to your stepdad. Nick. Don't make no kind of sense.
Can't you picture him like with that high and tight, I'm a like state trooper kind of haircut, and he was.
You got a bad white cop in your backyard.
Yeah. That's it. That's how I grew up.
He said the dog got a mullet.
Yeah. Don't pet him. Stay away from him. But we got to swim. So that's what we do. And my brother was brave. He Tizel, he went out first. And he stepped out, 1 foot out. Nick broke the chain. Burst through his own gate. Like, he didn't even jump over it. He just smashed through the metal gate.
Wow.
And almost bit my brother's fucking ass. He almost bit him and destroyed him. My bro had to triple jump into the pool. Like on some Jesse Owens kind of shit. Just boom, boom, triple jumps in. So Nick did make us great athletes, but it was always life or death, getting into the pool. And so you'd have to run in, and then when you're in, Nick, it would circle the pool. like a guy, man. Like you owed him money. It was like Suge Knight walking around, looking for Puffy's address and shit, or getting in.
Don't do that.
Now getting in was hard, but getting out was even harder because it's slippery.
Yeah,
you know, and you can't slip. And I slipped once. I get out. The pool, I thought I timed it right. I slipped, and I said, oh, shit, it was like some Indiana Jones shit. I had to do a monkey roll, and I jump into the door. and I close the door behind me, and I'm like, my heart is racing. I'm like, oh, my God, man, I'm shit, the guy almost got me. But I hear him whimpering. His hand was in the door. I had closed his hand. Yeah, fuck him.
You mean his paw?
Hey, yeah, his paw. And I was like, no, your hand's staying right there, and fuck you. You try to, if I open this door, I don't trust you.
Wow.
And now, right, and then, he's acting, playing the innocent role, and my mom comes in, runs in the room. What the hell's happening? She's never... My mom's the same, man. She's never yelled out. This is the only time she got mad at me. She blamed me. She was like, what'd you do? And I said, what do you mean? I'm seven at the time, but I'm trying to think, like, this guy's trying to, if he had a gun, he would have shot me, man. This is a bad cop. Mm-hmm. You can't see it, though. He's, every time you're around, he's acting like the victim. You know, but see... What she understood and I didn't was that I was actually assaulting a police officer.
Ooh.
Because the canine cop is a cop.
Yeah.
Is an actual cop. You got to file a report if he gets injured. It's like, it was wild, man. We hated this dog, man. we hated each other.
How did he get out the door?
So she opened it. And then he scurried off because, you know, he was afraid of my mom, I guess. He respected her. He didn't respect us. And we hated him as a family. Like, we hated each other, but we really, it united us to hate Nick. And the only place I could get refuge was at school, right? Until career day. So career day comes around, and who shows up, right? My stepdad, Don, and Nick. And all the kids love it because he's... And Nick's acting different there, though. He's acting all behaved and shit and smiling, cooning for the whites.
I
can't. That's how you do.
Yeah. Skinning and grinning.
Job. Nick trying to keep his job.
Right. Right. Yeah, letting white kids pet him and doing tricks, doing the Dougie and having a good time. And... And everybody loved Nick, and I'm like, wow, okay, well, now the girl who I liked in school, Valerie, with the cute eyes, she's thinking I'm kind of cool. You know, I live with Nick, and my best friend, Mateo, he's like, oh, man, I didn't know, Nick, you live with this guy. This guy's cool, man. I want to spend the night, you know? So I was like, all right, cool. And then my stepdad starts telling the school, oh, yeah, Nick is an attack dog. Do you guys want to see what he does? Right? You know where this is going. And they're like,
he
yeah.
Used you as a
right? Yeah. Oh, he goes, you guys want to see him attack Dino? And they go, yeah.
No.
Oh, them kids wanted blood, man. They're like, it was like a Simpsons episode. Like, you saw the fangs in their teeth and they're all double fist chanting like, kill him, get Dino.
You guys want to see what he does?
Yeah. Yo, they were monsters, man. The kids are the worst. So, but this is back in the day when you could bully each other without repercussions. So it was a different time. It was the 80s, man. It was the 80s.
Bullying was okay at that time.
And so I'm in the middle of this field. With this cast on me, the whole school is cheering for my demise. Don and Nick are about maybe 100 yards away from me, and then I see Don and I see Nick, and he kind of like smiled, like, ah, I finally get to eat this little nigga, and I was like, this is how did I end up in this? This is the worst position I end up in life. Life's not fair, and the world is cruel. And to make it worse, Nick only took instructions in German, so he sounded hella racist. He sounded the...
What?
And then he yelled out a German command, and he goes, Heinz and Feinz! And then Nick made it to me... Nick makes it to me in like .29 seconds or something, and he's on that cast and he's spinning me around like a tornado, and whoa, he's just like ripping me this way, that I'm spinning around, I'm pissing everywhere. I'm pissing on myself. I'm crying. Everybody's cheering. Everyone's having a great time. It felt like it lasted forever. And then he calls Nick off. Nick runs off. Everybody's like, yeah, you know, they got their spill of blood. They got their taste of blood. And now, yeah, school's ruined for me. Now I'm like, oh, man, life really sucks. And I go back to school. People are making fun of me and shit. You know, the girl, Valerie, won't look at me in my eyes. She doesn't respect me.
Oh, no.
Anymore. Oh, you know, no. People are like, Dino was crying like a little bitch.
No.
Because it was the 80s. You could do whatever you wanted. So they, it was the worst. But my boy, Matt, he was my friend. He said, hey, man, I want to spend the night, man. And so he comes over. Spends the night and we night swim. My parents worked at night, and so we're night swimming. But I guess Don had the night off or something. He's asleep. Nick is in the back. I didn't tell Matt Mateo about the process of getting in our pool and getting out of our pool because he didn't.
Oh, no.
Right. I forgot. I thought everybody had a bad cop in their backyard that life was always on the line and they treated you like you fit the description. Nick treated us like we were breaking into the house every time we came home. Like he never seen us before. Like we were always a new guy. And so we jump in and then we sprint out, but I left my boy Matt behind. He's in the middle, drip or drown. And now he's in the middle of the pool at night. We're like, damn, man. Hey, you gotta time it right, man. He was in there for 2 hours, man, freezing. And I'm yelling from the window, go now. Go now. Nick is asleep. I'll distract him.
Run.
Run. Run. He never. He never spent the night. He never spent the night again. Nick is ruining people's lives, man. We're like, we got to get rid of this guy, man. He's a bad cop, you know, but. Like Michael Corleone in The Godfather, we were having those conversations, and it was too hot. That's nobody. It's too hot, man. No one wanted to touch that. And then I'm just like, this is just gonna be my life for however long. And I come home, and the energy's different, man. It was like, and my mom comes up to us, and she goes, "Hey, Nick, you was chasing somebody or something, probably trying to sniff down drugs on them or plant some drugs on them." He jumped the fence, and she goes, he got hit by a car, and he didn't make it. Ooh. Yeah, yeah, he didn't make it. He died, and Don was hella sad, and we were sorry. We felt sad for him, but boy, did we celebrate.
Exactly. You live by the sword, you die by it, Nick.
That sounds horrible. But boy, did we swim the night away. We were backstroking. We were having a great. I know, man. We had a great time in his honor.
Brady Bunch liberated.
Liberation. Yeah, we got to walk in and test the water. You know, it was all good. But then when it was time to get out, I still sprinted back to my room, you know, just in case.
The ghost.
You know what I'm saying?
The ghost.
Right.
Old habits die hard. Old habits die hard. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's awesome, man.
Wow.
That's
crazy.
That's a story.
That's a hell of a story.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Dino. Thank you for that story. I hope, you know, that wherever he is now, that he's taking a bite out of crime.
That boy, like, that dog was racist.
Right.
The only thing worse than a... I get it.
So, Dina, what happens to you now if you see a dog?
You know, that's a good question, man. I was like, up until 3 years ago, I wasn't really comfortable around any bit of unleashed dog. Not like little ones. I'm not like a complete, you know,
you
punk
or
something,
brother.
But any dog but anyone off the, when any time a owner, you see them wrap the leash around their hand a few times. Where they're like, oh, this, yeah, it's like, come on, man, that dog's too aggressive. That's crazy. But I did acid one night in Toronto 3 years ago, and we walked through a night walk through the forest and through the city, and I came upon a dog, had a great conversation, connected.
Was it a real dog?
This motherfucker was talking to Mr. McGraw.
What do you mean conversation?
McGraw.
It was
a dog.
How do you have a conversation with a dog?
In the woods.
You don't know what he was talking to. He was talking to a bush.
Yeah. Well, hey. Perhaps. I was on acid, but But you're probably right. Yeah. But it helped me see dogs in a different way. And so now I actually warmed up to I love dog. I like, I'll pet a dog if it's consensual now. That's where I'm
you
at.
You know what? And well, and white folks always are like, yo, why are you afraid of dogs? And it's like, you got a million cop dogs who've attacked a million of my ancestors in a million different kind of ways.
Come
and
on.
You're asking me why I'm afraid of dogs.
Yeah.
Are you afraid, Joyce? Are you afraid?
Oh, no. I used to be, but you know, my David had a dog and I got really close to his dog and I trained the dog, but I trained it for other people. Like I trained it so that if anybody raised their hand that the dog would sit down, because I know there are other people who are afraid of dogs.
Mm. Right on.
Don't go anywhere, because in just a moment, Shannon Kasem takes us back to 1980s Detroit City when Snap Judgment, the backstage episode, continues. Stay tuned. Back to Snap Judgment, the backstage episode. My name is Glenn Washington, and today, if you're just joining us, we're doing something special. Some of the greatest storytellers in all the land, they're kicking it. Unscripted, unrehearsed, raw, no holds barred. There may even be some foul language and violence, particularly racial violence, but do not worry. This ain't one of those stories. When last we left, Dino had just finished telling the story of one bad canine cop, and now Shannon Kasem breaks it down. Snap Judgment.
Yeah, I got an 80s tale too, you know, and listening to Dino's story, they had pools. They had, you know, you grew up with a, man, that's big time. You grew up with a pool. That must mean you got sun. In Detroit, we get a little sun, but then we get a lot of snow. You know what I'm saying? Like winters are cold. It's a lot of snow, and if it snowed, I always had to shovel two houses: my grandma Mary's house where I live with my mom, my sister, and my aunt, and then my grandma Kasem's house too. She lived about a 15-minute walk from where we live. You know, but we used to. Out here, you know, I'm lying because you never really used to it, but you deal with it like you deal with everything in Detroit.
Man,
it's normal. So one day, I'm finishing shoveling my grandma Mary's house where I lived, and I'm headed to my grandma Kasem's house, the 15-minute walk, and I had my Sony Walkman. I had a fresh pack of AA batteries. I had about 7 or 10 cassette tapes. Big Daddy Kane,
hey.
Eric B. and Rakim,
yep.
Bags of chips in my pocket, Pop magazines, all packed in my triple fat goose coat. You know, I love pockets. I even wear cargo pants now all the time because I like pockets, you know. So I'm walking down my block to get to this long street to walk to my grandma's house, to walk the few miles to my grandma's house. And I'm listening to Boogie Down Productions, you know, Let Us Begin, What, Where, Why, or When. We'll all be explained, you know what I'm talking about. As soon as I round the corner, this beat up box Chevy pulls up on the sidewalk where I was walking, cutting off my path. The passenger of the car jumps out with a gun in their hand.
Wow.
I saw it was a woman. She was wearing these baggy clothes and a red bandana around her head. And I'm thinking I'm getting robbed. And it's natural just to like throw up your hands and say, don't shoot. That's just like a natural response to somebody jumping out at you, pulling a gun on you. And the man in the driver's seat, he came around the car. He was tall, baggy clothes too, skull cap. And he walks over and he rips off my headphones, reaches inside my coat for my Sony Walkman, pulls it out, throws it in the snow.
Wow.
And then he was checking my pockets. And I didn't feel like this was like an average everyday stick up though. You know, stealing from a 12-year-old kid walking down the street. It was the way that the lady was holding the gun, the way they were moving. They looked like they were they had on costumes kind of. Actually, they looked like a whack rap group, you know, like a corporation had put together or something. They looked like they had guns, so it was still respect, but they looked whack. They didn't look like they would really wear those clothes in regular life, you know. And I was mostly looking at the lady because she had the gun pointed at me. And I remember thinking in my 12-year-old head, the craziest thought come to your head when you're that young and that many hormones in you. I was thinking, she's cute. I was kind of looking at her. She kind of looked like a bootleg MC Light in a way.
And that's when he realized he likes strong women, ladies and gentlemen.
That must be, yeah, you called it. You know, she looked like a like MC Light, I thought. You know, she was kind of cute in her little hip-hop clothes, like a fly girl from In Living Color, and with a gun pointed at me. Wow. And the man was patting down my coat, down to my legs. And he reached in my coat, pulled out my EPMD cassette, threw it in the snow, reached in again, pulled out my Slick Rick, my Three Times Dope, my King T, threw them in the snow. Again, with my Audio 2, Too Short, Biz Markie, Bag of Chips, WWF, Wrestling Magazine, Deodorant. This
what
is all stuff that I would
for?
Carry on me. Threw it all in the snow.
That would have hurt my feelings. Is that more than the gun being pointed in my face? It's like, why are you throwing my
all
most
my
beloved
in
possessions
the
in the snow?
Like my thought would have been
in
like, yo, do I have gloves to pick these joints up? Like
my hands still up. So the guy, he looked back to the lady and he shook his head, and she said, damn, why you got all this shit in your pockets, man? We thought you had a gun.
Wow.
She said, we thought you had a gun. And they got back in the car, pulled off the sidewalk, drove away. I'm standing there, breathing hard, cold, in the snow, with my cassette tapes, headphones, Sony Walkman, all my stuff scattered around me. And they were gone. No sorry, no sense of oops, my bad, no help picking up all my shit, just gone, left.
Crazy.
So I pick up my stuff wet, made sure my Walkman still worked. It did. I couldn't tell my grandma Kaysen what happened. I couldn't tell my grandma Mary. I couldn't tell my mom, my sister,
why?
My aunt. I didn't want to scare the women in my house. I didn't want to scare all these people in my house and had them put more restrictions on me than they were already trying to put on me. Mm. All the women in my house were always worried for me anyway going outside of the house.
Right.
It was just one more of those things that I had to carry. So I put my headphones back on, hit play, pumped up the volume, and just kept it moving.
What's crazy about that, man, is how we normalize the shit that's not normal.
Mm. Yeah.
Because I didn't grow up in the hood. I did have a pool, as you've stated. which is... But
yeah.
I had a bad cop. Yeah, light-skinned. Hey, there's still real ones on this side. Do not get it twisted. I had a cop in my backyard, but that kind of thing where you step outside to go, clear the snow out, that becomes normal. How long, or when do you realize that that's not normal? Maybe that's the question.
Yeah, and it takes so long, too, because these stories, like these things that happen, like you bring up something like this, and this is something simple. In my head, it's simple, but it may be something
nothing,
big
yeah.
to, and then later on, you think of it as big. Or you and your friends, like I wouldn't tell any of my parents, but I laugh about it with my friends. We would laugh about life and death things, you know, hey, you remember when they were shooting at us when we was running? You know, those kind of things would be funny. and you laugh about it. Right. Man, that cop beat you and hit you in the head. You know, you laugh about stuff, but I think it was a protection for you. You laugh about some of the most horrible things, growing up. I even hung out with my cousin the other day, and we were sitting there laughing about some horrific stuff that we had did and, had been done to us, but you laugh about it.
Yeah, but that's culture.
You laugh about it.
Because there's always been, there's always been laughter of horrible situations to get through. Like, even I used to read a lot of slave narratives and stuff, and I read a narrative of always a comedian in a cotton field. There's always somebody to make you laugh just to keep you going.
Yeah, can you imagine that?
Yeah,
that probably was something.
Definitely.
It was probably some jokes out of this world in the cotton field and on the plantation.
Exactly. This is where we get our comedians. It's like, okay, I need you to voice what I've been through, but make me get through it.
My grandfather told me that his grandfather told him that, who was a slave, that the wildest, funniest nights were secret nights out in the barn over some corn liquor.
God. Oh my God!
Impersonations of master. doing his voice and trying to act like him, and mama in the house, and doing impersonations of them. This guy could mimic the master and the slave hands and those people, and that was some of their biggest fucking laughs.
You saw that meme where it said they didn't take slaves from Africa. They took scientists,
that's right,
and mathematicians and artists and comedians. And they were not new. There was Dave Chappelle in the field and Richard, like you said, and I would love to be in those nights where, because the most comedy comes from the most pain, and that is one of the most painful parts of our history. But the beauty out of it in the comedy would be brilliant. To have some of those riff sessions recorded of them getting on Massa and talking shit amongst each other.
What North America doesn't understand is that they need us to laugh. They need it.
Yes.
Because when there's no laughter, it's all bad. It's all revolt from here.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
So the thing is like, laughter is saving all of us. it's saving everybody right now.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. You've heard the voices of Shannon Kaysen, Dino Archie, Dr. Raymond Christian, Joyce Lee, and Don Reed. It is so good speaking to y'all again. I can't wait till we can hit the road once all this craziness is behind us. The sound production for this piece was by Mark Ristich and Pat Massini-Miller. It was produced by Nika Singh. You missed even a moment, subscribe to the amazing Snap Judgment podcast. Get it. And know this: Snap Judgment Studios, the shop, is open for business. Go to snapjudgment.org/shop right now. Get yourself some Snap stuff. Let the world know you snap. snapjudgment.org/shop. And if you like stories from the dark side, know that Halloween has already arrived. Season 5 of Spooked is risen and available on luminarypodcast.com. Amazing stories from the dark side. Be afraid. Snap is brought to you by the team that never grabs all those shampoo bottles and sticks in their luggage. Everyone except for the Uber producer, Mr. Mark Ristich, Pat Massini-Miller, Anna Sussman, Renzo Gurio, John Facile, Sheena Sheely, Marissa Dodge, Nika Singh, Teo Dicott, Flo Wiley, Nancy Lopez, and Regina Bediaco. But this is not the news. no racistness. In fact, you can get bitten in the behind by a dog with a mullet as you run for your life from your own swimming pool, and you would still not be as far away from the news as this is. But this is